change and the seed doesn't change. They're always the same. But the thing that is different in this parable is the condition of the soils. Now, I know that most of you, having read the scripture this morning, having read this probably in your Bible many times, know that there are four kinds of soils that we're talking about here. But in reality, we're only talking about two kinds of soils, aren't we? We're talking about the good soil and the bad soil. You see, Jesus always divided the world in two. Do you know that? Those who believe, those who don't believe, those who produce spiritual fruit, and those whose lives are barren. Throughout the Bible, the New Testament, it's the same message. Jesus talked about the broad way, the narrow way, the wide gate, the narrow gate, the sheep, and the goats, those that are on his right hand, those that are on his left hand, those who are led into the wedding feast, those who are cast out, those who walk in darkness, and those who walk in the light. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. You're either gathering in or you're scattering abroad. You build your house on the rock or you build your house on the sand. You hear my voice or you harden your heart. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You see, there is truth and there is falsehood. There is right and there is wrong. Jesus always divides the world in two, the two soils. You know, the fact is, people don't like that. Have you noticed that in our world today? People talk about, well, that may be your truth, but that's not my truth. I prefer to think of God in a different way. I prefer to think of God as someone who accepts me no matter what I do. That God is like this elderly grandfather who's just benevolent towards his children. And at the end of my life, no matter what I've done, God is going to take me in. Have you met people like that? That just say, this is the way I prefer to think about God. Isn't it amazing that we don't handle any other reality like that? And aren't we glad? We don't go to the doctor and the doctor says, you've got cancer. And we say, well, I prefer to think of myself as well. So I'm just not going to do anything about it. Or you go to your banker and your banker says, you're out of money. And you say, well, I just prefer to think that I have a lot of money and I'm just going to go on writing checks. Or you're out driving your car and you say, you know, I hate curvy roads. I prefer to think this is a straight road. And you just drive your car as though it were a straight road. Nobody would do that because your life would be a wreck. In the same way, when we don't realize the reality of what the New Testament tells us about who God is and that there are those who are the good soil and the bad soil, those who are right and those who are wrong, those who have believed and those who have not, those who are productive in their lives and those who are not productive, then we miss the message of this parable. Jesus said there are two soils. But he does talk about three conditions, doesn't he? Because you see, people miss the truth because of three conditions in their lives. Three ways that people miss the truth. The first is this: we miss the truth because of a spiritual battle. Jesus said when the sower went forth to sow, he was doing what we call broadcast sowing, and he would throw the seed out. And Jesus said the birds of the air would come and they would pick the seed off of the hard path. Later on, when he explained the parable to his disciples, he said, you know, those birds are the devil. The devil comes and he takes that seed, that word of God, out of the life of someone who might be there in a message like this, who might be in a church service like this, and the word comes to him through music, through testimony, through the message, the preaching of the word. But the Bible says that Satan comes and he takes it away. You know, there's a great word in Spanish. I kind of got reattached to my Spanish down in the Dominican Republic. The word is suspirar. Suspirar. You know what it means? It's an onomatopoeia. It's a word that sounds like what it is. Suspirar. Whispering. You see, that's what the Bible says that Satan does to us. That's how Satan comes and takes the seed out of our life. It's the devil who comes like in the garden and he says to Adam and Eve, you know, God's really not to be trusted. You really can't trust God. Just go with what you feel. Or it's like the devil coming before God and saying about Job, you know, Job can't hack it. And people hear the devil whispering to them and saying to them, you know, you can't live the Christian life. You're going to fail, so don't even try. Or I think the one thing that the devil whispers to all of us at one time or another, the devil says, listen, it may all be true, all the stuff that you hear, all the songs, the messages, but guess what? You've got plenty of time. You're young. Just go out and, can we say this? Sow your wild oats. Just go out and sow those weeds because you've got plenty of time to come to Christ. You see, there's that spiritual battle that takes place as the devil comes and he takes a seat away. But there's another thing that happens that makes people miss the truth. We miss the truth because of a temporal battle, because of something that comes upon us, the persecution that comes. You know, people say, I don't know about this, but I've heard that if I follow Christ, that I'm liable to have trouble. Have you ever heard someone say, man, if you just accept Christ, your life is going to be all just roses and sunshine? And, you know, anybody up here today can say, man, my life since I accepted Christ has been nothing but flowers, nothing but sunshine. The truth is, so often when we accept Christ, what we find is we're in the battle. Because, see, when you're walking with the world, you're walking with the world. When you're going with the crowd, you're just going with the flow. But the minute that you accept Jesus Christ and believe his promises and try to be obedient to his word, immediately you begin to encounter persecution in your life. Now, there's places where Susan and I have been where we've seen persecution in its most raw form, where we've had friends who have tried to leave the country and been arrested and imprisoned, and to my knowledge, they're in jail to this day. We ourselves have been kicked out of countries because of preaching the gospel, but you know, that's not the worst thing. I mean, we're here. We're free. But all of those that we shared with who are this day sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ know that there is that chance that what Jesus has said, in this world you shall have tribulation. What Peter said, don't be surprised at the fiery trial that comes upon you, because this is part of what it means to follow Christ. There are those, the Bible says, that when the seed is sown, because the sun comes up and it scorches them, and he says when it's persecution, when it comes, it just withers away. They just say, I can't face opposition. There's a third reason that we sometimes miss the truth, and that's the soil that has all of those weeds. It's that inward battle. Dr. Cooley mentioned a moment ago that you could probably tell the people that were here yesterday on the work day, right? Because when they move, they groan. Well, I brought something with me from yesterday for those of you who weren't able to be with us. It's a little souvenir. This is a weed, believe it or not. This is a vine that was growing up around a tree. Do you know this little vine that started out like this got to be like this? As a matter of fact, at one point I had to call Lee over, Tom and I did, because we couldn't cut it with the pruning shears. He had to bring a chainsaw and cut it down. You realize that this is what Jesus is talking about. That the seed is sown in the life, but all of a sudden these little things that we let get into our lives, those things that the Bible calls idols, whether it's fame or money or power or sensuality, comes a part of our life, and eventually it grows up around. And you may think that you're a 60-foot pine, but when you've got this growing around your base, in no time at all, it's going to choke out the life that God is trying to plant in you. So how do we miss the truth? Well, we miss the truth because we let things like this grow up in our life. And the truth is, there's only one solution. There's only one thing that we're able to do. Now, are you listening? Are you listening? Jesus said the solution is this. It's very simple. Let him who has ears to hear, hear. You say, that's the solution? Yeah, that's the solution. Isn't that simple? If you go down to verse 23, when Jesus is again explaining to his disciples, this is what he says. He says, the good soil are those who hear the word of God and understand. You want to be good soil. Let me ask you this. my brothers and sisters here at First Baptist Church, do you want to be good soil? Because you see, Jesus was talking to his disciples, wasn't he? He was trying to tell his disciples how to be good soil. I think the one thing that you and I take away from this is this. We don't know where that seed's going to fall and where God's going to make it productive and where it's not, do we? I mean, we start sowing that seed, and some of it may fall on the hard place, the weedy place. It may fall where there's no depth of soil. And we think, you know, sometimes it's like, that person would never believe. I'm not going to waste my time sharing the gospel with them. But we just don't know, do we? As a matter of fact, some of you I'm looking at right now, someone may have looked at you and said, I can't believe that person ever became a Christian. But someone was faithful in sowing that seed. The other thing that it reminds us as Christians is this. When you hear that word and understand, you understand that God is looking for the productive life. Some have lives that are 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Now, what makes the difference? You know, I believe that as we receive that word into our lives, like James says, that we receive that implanted seed and it grows in our lives so that we cultivate what God has planted in us. Do you know this Dominican trip was a lot about cultivating the seed God had planted? There were a couple of people, I mean, some wonderful opportunities as I got to know these young people. And it was great. They were so patient with me. The kids there, where they were guessing ages, they said they thought Joe was probably about 52. They said that Suzanne was about 31. They looked at me and they said, we think you're 80. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm 64. And the same little girl looked at me and she just kind of stared at me and she said, no, 80. But these guys put up with this octogarian and allowed me to speak into their lives and to see what's God doing. You know, and some of them came to me and they said, you know, I feel like God is working on my life, that God is calling me to maybe come back here, maybe to invest my life in some way in this orphanage that we're at with these children who've been abused. You see, that's cultivating the seed. That's God doing something with what he's planted in you so that your life becomes 30 and 60 and 100-fold productive. But there's something that I want to say to you here this day who've heard this word and have never allowed that seed to grow in your life. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let this seed that God is planting through this music, through this song, through what we proclaim that we believe, the gospel of Jesus Christ, take root in your life. Because you see, growing as a Christian means you have to first become a Christian. And it's as simple as listening to God's word and believing what God has said and allowing him to let that seed in your life grow up into the faith in Jesus Christ, to give God the opportunity to cultivate the good soil in your life. I wouldn't be standing here today if I didn't believe the gospel. You wouldn't be sitting there today if you didn't believe the gospel. That's the seed. And you know what the gospel says? God can change anyone, any life. And so I challenge you today, if you're here either as a believer or one who's never put your faith in Christ, to allow God to take you one step further than where you are. Would you do that today? We're going to sing a hymn of invitation in just a moment. Dr. Cooley's going to come and stand. I'll be standing down here. Our ensemble is going to be leading us. And I want to invite you just to take a step of faith to say, God, I want to be a better soil. I want to be the good soil. And I want to be cultivated the kind of soil you want me to be. So let's stand together as we sing our hymn of invitation. And you come as God leads you this morning.